Hello, hello everyone, and welcome back. Welcome back. I am so excited to be back with you all right before we approach the holidays. I want to thank you all for tuning in to Can We Talk with Jewel Podcast, proudly sponsored by fundraisingcup.org Ministries. We are thrilled to have you all join us again today as we delve into these topics that uplift our communities and nurture our spiritual growth.
Amen.
Your ongoing support and donations are invaluable, and I encourage you all to continue to contribute to this mission of love and light. Okay, so with that said, I'm excited to have this beloved guest with us back today, yet
red
controversial.
Carpet again.
Okay. So, you know, he brings a little controversy when he comes, and I love it. Welcome back, Brother Thomas, to Overtime. Can We Talk with Jewel?
There you go. Overtime. I love it. I love it. I love it. Because that's what it's going to be. You know, there's no, I can't stick to just 30 minutes. I'm sorry. That's just not me. I can't do it.
I know. You have a lot of information to share with our supporters, and we welcome it because, like I said, from the first podcast, you know, I am all about growing spiritually and exchanging thoughts, ideas as it pertains to the Bible. And Brother Thomas does such a great job in his understanding and interpretations. And I think he opens the minds to question things that many haven't questioned before. So that's one of the reasons I'm so excited to have him back.
Thank you.
So, Brother Thomas, the topic of today's show will really hit close to home for many, including us, right? We're going to break down much confusion rivalry of rightful heirs stemming back through biblical texts. Whereby much of the wars we see today within nations and families of dissension are the result of. So, guys, if you didn't know, today's topic is heir and heiresses. So what's at the core of jealousy and deception? And Brother Thomas, we're going to rewind the hands of time here with the story of Ishmael, the firstborn son of Abraham.
Which is a story that's not many people know about.
No, and I think it's really key to what's going on here that we're seeing playing out in many people's lives and nations galore that hasn't really been delved into. And we're going to break it down today. So, Brother Thomas, whenever you're ready, can you open us up with the scripture?
Well, you know me in seven, so you picked a really good one. It's Genesis chapter 16, and it's verses 1 through 16. So how many sevens is that, people? Okay, so here we go. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "Now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children through her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. And after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar, the Egyptian, and her maid and gave her to her husband, Abram, as his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. And Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done me be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abram said to Sarai, "Behold, your maid is in your power. Do to her what is good in your sight." So he basically passed the buck. And so he says, Sarai treated her harshly, and she fled from her presence. So she beat her. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from, and where are you going? And she said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress, and submit yourself to her authority. Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants, so that they shall be too many to count. The angel of the Lord said to her further, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. So God felt sorry for her. And he will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live to the east of all his brothers. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, thou art a God who sees. For she said, have I even remained alive here after seeing him? Therefore, the well was called Beer. Oh, God, that's our name. Beer Lahairush Roy, whatever. Pardon me. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son, whom Hagar bore Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. Mm-hmm. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Amen. So are you going to go on into the...
Oh, the next chapter.
Yes.
I'm so sorry. I thought we were breaking it up. No problem. No problemo. So the next one, people, is another product of sevens, and it is going to be chapter 21, and we're going to read to verse 21. So here we go. So the Lord took note of Sarah, and he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Now notice that the name Sarah changed from Sarai to Sarah. Interesting. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time of which God has spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now, Abraham was 103 years old when his son Isaac was born. A lot of years difference. You got 80-something and 103? Wow, that's a big difference. Okay, and Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. Now Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. Therefore she said to Abraham, drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son Isaac. And the matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her. For through Isaac your descendants shall be named. And of the son of the maid I will make a nation also, because he is your descendant. A nation is promised. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and the skin of water and gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder, and gave her the boy and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up, and she left the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him about a bowshot away, for she said, do not let me see the boy die. And she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the lad crying. That's making me cry. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is this matter with you, Hagar? Do not fear, for God has heard the voice of the lad. Where is he? Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him by the hand, for I will make a great nation of him. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water, and gave the lad a drink. And the God was with the lad, and he grew, and he lived in the wilderness, and became an archer. And he lived in the wilderness of Paran. And his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt.
Amen.
Wow.
Very, very powerful scripture. And as I mentioned before, much of the story continues to play out today in wars and rightful heirs of the covenant. Exactly, made between God and his children. And, you know, even some of the Jews believe that Ishmael is, that he is from, there's some of his descendants are in Palestine, believe it or not. Which raises some other questions and concerns of the conflict that's going on over there between Israel.
Because I think the Palestinians, which are the Muslims, they believe that their prophet was Muhammad.
Yeah. Speaking of which, there are also some legends stating that Ishmael was an ancestor of Muhammad, which is also key to understanding the importance of...
which means we've gone full circle.
We have.
Because here in today's world, right now, what do we have going on, Jewel? What do we have going on in our country? We have protests. What are they protesting?
Mm-hmm.
Free Palestine?
Yeah. Yep.
So, should we not really be in favor of freeing Palestine?
Yeah, I mean,
instead of being so like, oh my God, like it's just that they're horrible people and they will cut you and they will, you know, cut your throats and they're pagan and they're all these things. They're just people like us.
I find it funny that the Lord mentioned that he would his lineage would be known as wild men. And as I was listening to you describe how they describe the Palestinians.
As wild men. Oh my God, you know, all that yelling and shit.
They describe them as wild men. And so, it, you know, like you said, it really brings it around full circle. But those of us that understand our Father to a certain degree know that everything happens in divine timing and revelation. And with the same homage and respect that we afford Isaac, we should also afford Ishmael. Because in all honesty,
God set up that nation for him. Hello? It shouldn't be something that we say we're going to tear it down.
Yeah. And
because if you're doing that, you're going against God.
This is for true believers. If you believe in God, you would respect the covenant that was made with Abraham and all of his children, not just the lineage of Isaac.
Right.
And so.
But see, it all has to do with that firstborn crap.
It is.
You know?
Yes. So we all understand that there was a lot, especially in that time, that came with firstborn children and the inheritance that they were to receive from their fathers.
Right. Well, if you remember, okay, so they said that, you know, Hagar chose for him a wife, Ishmael a wife, from Egypt. Now then, let's go front forward. So does that mean Egyptians were Muslim?
Well, what it definitely means is that there's some ancestry coming out of Egypt from Abraham. We can say that without a doubt. And those of you who often heard me when I pray, I would also reference what's identified in the Old Testament and the New Testament of saying out the Most High God, Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I should probably include Ishmael because he's been kind of booted
out. Ishmael was first, you know, if you think of it.
He was first. I think this speaks to several key things I want to point out in these scriptures that you have read. One, the theme of divine timing. Sarah was not patient to believe that God was going to fulfill his promise through her. And she decided that she would have her husband,
her maidservant,
bear the firstborn child with him. And
because of some kind of slavery thing, apparently she could make that decision, and that any offspring that came from Hagar were hers. I don't get that, but that's what she decided.
Yeah, well, you know, that idea of slavery kind of
persisted
on to today. No, if you really think about it, many of the black slaves today carry the names of their
masters.
Their masters. And so it was that idea of ownership of property.
And that's wrong. I mean, how can a human be a property?
No, they shouldn't be considered that way.
No.
But I want to emphasize that Sarah did not wait.
And,
you know, oftentimes when it comes to God's promises and divine timing, many of us choose to intervene and feel like we need to speed things up. We need to make things happen.
Right. We doubt that God's going to move fast as we want him to.
Exactly. And, you know, I used to make this joke in the past, and it's just a joke, guys, but I used to say, you know, Father, I'll take it from here. I know you're really busy.
Yeah, exactly. I'll take the reins. Let me have it. Mm-hmm.
I know you're in conference with Archangel Michael and Raphael. You got so much going on. Let me take over and just play some of these demons for you.
How'd that go for you, Jewel? How'd that go?
I can't say it went well.
The reason being
is because we create our own roadblocks when we do that, right?
Yeah, we create our own destiny.
We think we're getting somewhere faster, and in essence, we're creating a much bigger maze than needed to be created.
A bigger trouble. You know, that's why God says you can go down that road. I don't recommend it.
That's the wonderful thing about our Father, is that he still allows us to have the free will to make these mistakes.
Yeah, because he don't want to be a dictator. God does not want to be a dictator, although he could. He could.
And he let Sarah essentially make this decision, even though he made
took it right out of his hands. Like, okay, fine, woman, you go ahead and you do what you're going to do. But, you know, you're going against what I told you. I said in my scheduled time.
You will have it. In her mind, she's thinking, look, there's just, I'm already 80-something years old, which is too old.
She doubted.
And you're talking about wait some more, like when I'm 100, that's impossible. Let me just give him my maidservant. And essentially, in doing so, she didn't realize it, that she's somehow caused these wars to take off much later in life and creating much more chaos out there in the Middle East by simply not waiting. And God let her do it. But he still fulfilled his promise. It's something that I want to point out as well, is that, you know, even in watching her do what she's going to do and create all of this unnecessary chaos and emotional imbalance between her, him, and the maidservant and the children, he still found a way to fulfill the promise and balance out the reckless decision as much as he possibly could. And so divine timing being the key that I picked up initially in this story.
Secondly, well, you realize too, Jewel, that, okay, so when Sarah had her child and bore to Abraham, Abraham was now 103.
Yes.
Now, 103, and you take 80. So they said that in the scripture it says that Abraham, when Hagar bore her son, he was 86, which means that when she conceived, he had to have been 85, right? So what's 103 minus 85? How many years?
We're coming up on 20, but not quite.
Right.
A
20-year
difference in the two children, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is pretty significant. And if you notice, I think there was a part you read where they were playing together. So, looking from Sarah's perspective, and she's seeing this older young man, right?
He's going to get favored.
It hit her at that particular juncture.
You're jealous.
The jealousy kicked in that this is the rightful heir, firstborn son. And it, at this point, you know, he's coming up on 18. He is to receive all of the rightful, lineage heir, items to be passed down. And she got jealous and,
she kicked Hagar out
and kicked the child and the mother out of the home because she felt she wanted to ensure Isaac received all of the
right, the inheritance.
The inheritance.
The favor. Right? Everything.
So let's review the facts here. She made a decision where she didn't wait on divine timing.
And no, she didn't.
This is what she wanted. She wanted
right.
Another
right.
child to be the firstborn
right.
of Isaac. And then...
But did she not say that the child of Hagar was her child? So what's she doing? Throwing her child to the wolves?
Exactly. That's exactly what she was doing. And she was reneging on the agreement.
Contractual agreement.
That she made with Hagar.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
You know, I want to speak to, which brings me to the second theme that I've seen here, which are these shame.
By the way, it is exactly 18, Jewel. 18 years difference.
Okay, I figured that. Do you see how ironic it is and the significance of 18 still to this day of being an adult?
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that true that we make 18 being that you're legally adult? 18.
Yes,
now, where the hell did that come from? Because, you know, it used to be 21.
Yep.
So where did it, so you see what's happened? We have taken society, and adults are now considered adult at 18.
Yeah.
You can't take a drink at 18, but you sure as hell can, you know, other stuff. But you can't. It's legally you can't take a drink until you're 21.
Uh-huh.
Now, okay. What's going on here? Again, it's numbers.
Yes, it absolutely is. But as I was saying, is that the second theme that I was seeing here were these secret relationships and secret contracts and shameful.
Mm-hmm.
I want to also point out the shame of Sarah not being able to bear a child. And
very much, because she, you know, she kept thinking, well, I can imagine, you know, when they first got married, they were thinking, okay, going to have a kid any time, year after year after year after year after year after year, after, you know, and she's going, well, I'm past the years of bearing children, you know, so I guess, you know, I ain't going to have them. And that's when God came to her and says, hello, knocking on the door and say, you are going to have a child. You're crazy. No, this is the truth. And she says, this can't be. She argued with God. See, that's another thing. That's another lesson. You don't argue with God. You don't.
Mm-hmm.
But we do. We think it's our highway or not. And that's where we get ourselves in trouble. And that's where we are today. We have decided to take everything out of God's control. Everything.
And place it in our control. And even though God can make a message out of a mess.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's a good one, Jewel. That's a good little nugget. I like that one. Make a message out of a mess. Like
oh,
it. That's a good one.
Because
did you just come up with that one right on the top of your head? That's a good one.
No,
like the small letter C. I love that one too.
Yes. But it's so true because Sarah made a mess out of the situation and God made a message out of it. And I think we're seeing some of that play out today as well, where people are having relationships that they don't want people to know about, whether it's ancestral, whether it's
rape,
whatever it is, they're keeping a lot of secrets from the child that's born, a lot of secrets from...
Well, they don't want the child influenced by it.
Well, here's the thing. You may think you're protecting the child, but ultimately...
you're cheating.
You're cheating the child of their lineage and understanding the role that they are expected to play.
Right.
You know, the reason why many people in the Middle East are frustrated is because of this dismissal of Ishmael. And he was supposed to be paid homage to as the firstborn of Abraham, which is a really big deal. I know today we don't as much celebrate our firstborn sons the way they did in the past, but it was a really big deal when we talk about bloodlines and you know the royalness of certain bloodlines. And I want to make it clear, when I say royal bloodlines, I don't want you to think of
king
the
and
British
queen. No.
King and queen, because that's not the kind of bloodline that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the real royal bloodline with DNA.
Yeah. Well, what I'm going to say to this is, you know, I'm a junior.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and I, you know, I always hated being junior. My mom always said, Tommy Jr., I hated it. Because I don't like being called junior. But it's mine. It's my title. I can't get away from it. But, you know, the thing of it is, I was his firstborn.
Yes.
I was given his name.
Mm-hmm.
But I was denied.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
And then even in death, when his firstborn was to be born of his second wife, was born stillborn. And he went to the people at the funeral home, and they said, what child's name do you want to have on the tombstone and in the record? And he says, I want to have this name. And he said, my name. Now, where did I get in the picture? Where did I get lost? So then, you know, the people at the funeral home, they said, you can't do that. Once you give your child your name, they have your name. So there's the inheritance right there.
Mm-hmm.
I inherited his name in name only. You
and
follow?
It's almost about to be stolen from you, the identity of being
transformed,
very similarly, like Ishmael, right?
Exactly.
So
I was considered the black sheep in the family.
Yes, very much like Ishmael.
That
typically happens to a lot of gifted children, a lot of children that came out of shameful.
Well, I'll tell you, Jewel, you know, until recently, you know, when I finally realized that I am a starseed. But until that time, I said, there's nobody who has a life like mine. Nobody has a father that hates their son so badly that I couldn't do anything right. And even when he was on his deathbed, basically in the hospital, you know, it's when he called me over to the hospital bed and he said, give me your hand. And he said to me, I've always been proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's 87 years old. And when, you know, I was born, he was like 20-something. And he waited all that time to finally say that to me. And I know why. He's trying to reconcile everything with God.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to clear his conscience, clear the books.
Mm-hmm.
But then even in death, what did he do? In the instructions of this, to the people at the cemetery and at the funeral home, Daddy insisted that we drive by every place that was important to him. And the last place was the farm. My farm. 113 acre farm. But guess what, Jewel?
Yeah.
I never got one piece of it. And I got to drive by that and see all the houses. And
yeah.
Knowing that land was supposed to be mine.
Well, I think what you...
And I know how Ishmael felt. I do.
I was just going to say that. And not just Ishmael. I think you understand how many people that are descendants of Ishmael feel about the inheritance and the entitlement they feel they were robbed of.
Well, it's just like the land of Palestine now. I feel sorry for those people.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this. I'm going to tell you a story. So I'm going to throw this in here. So Gaza. You know, a lot of things have been talked about Gaza.
Uh-huh.
The Strip of Gaza. So found out that the Strip of Gaza, do you know what they want to do? They want to put an inland river there to go right through the land of Gaza.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's the thing about that. So the man who's the hotel manager down here, his mother and father, years ago, they had a knock on the door. They had a beachfront property. Knock on the door. Military stepped in. Threw them out in the street. Took their house away from them. Now, they lived in that house. That was their house. They owned it. How did the military have the right to do what they did? How? Because they could. Don't make it right, does it? So you understand why the Palestinians are angry?
Mm-hmm.
When their ancestors have been abused? Think of it. So their family home, they were thrown out in the street. When I found that out, I had compassion for him. I said, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I did not know. And I'll tell you, that set the difference, the tone, in how he dealt with me and other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I told him, that's so wrong. That was their home. And they're out in the street. That's not right. You see, in my privilege, I guess you could call it, which he would thought of before we had any conversation, he was thinking that I was just going to be like the rest of the people. You know?
Yeah.
You got what you earned, you know?
Yeah.
You were in that land illegally. No, they weren't. The land was not theirs to be taken of by Israel.
Mm.
Not. And it's still to this day, they're still trying it. And we're defending it. Why do we go to war to defend against Palestine? Why? Now I see a whole different picture.
Yeah, I think, Brother Thomas, when we take a human stance on it, on the theft of inheritance, we understand that it's just not right. It's not fair. It's not right. And
Sarah did to Hagar was not right.
No.
You know?
No, and it's funny because I know in the Jewish culture, and they can correct me if I'm wrong because I don't follow everything in their Torah, but I do believe that they believe in the lineage coming or stemming out of the female versus the male, which
has to do with Mary.
Yeah. It's kind of contradictory to, I guess, where our father was leading us, constantly referencing Abraham. And so if they did it that way, then the theft would be considered acceptable, and Isaac would be heir to all of Abraham's inheritance. But but here's the thing. Here's the thing, guys. Oftentimes, greed and inconsistencies in facts and what's right cause people to make decisions that can affect nations. And I know
that it all has to do with choices, Jewel. It has to do with choices.
Sarah made a choice, and her choice has affected nations.
Yeah, millions. It's affected, and even to this day, it's affecting
us. She decided not to wait and to come into agreement that Ishmael would be the firstborn child of Abraham. She had forfeited that firstborn inheritance. That was a choice that she made. And I think
She should have abided by the contract, and she should have said, you know what? I'm sorry. Isaac is your second born.
Yes. And I
think she didn't.
The sense of entitlement and the sense of, well, I am more of royalty.
That's exactly what Sarah felt like. That, you know, finally God had blessed her with a child, and so she was better than Hagar. No, she was not.
Yes. And I,
if anything, Hagar gave him something that she sure as hell couldn't do.
Yeah. And I know it's easier. It may seem easier said than done to step to the side and allow, Ishmael to be heir to that inheritance.
Right.
But this is the choice again that she made by not.
She was very selfish. She really was very selfish.
And this is what we're seeing with a lot of people today, is that God will tell us something that is supposed to play out. This person is supposed to be gifted with this. And then somehow, some way, people get it in their minds, well, I don't think that person deserves it. And I am going to override what God said, what the law says, what my ancestry says, and I'm going to make...
Well, Jill, you know, if you look at it that way, you know, avarice, that's just selfishness. Yeah.
It is. It's complete selfishness. It's self-absorbed. And, you know, when we continue to do these things, like what happened to Ishmael, we can affect nations by these selfish decisions.
Yeah.
Right? Because when God says something is supposed to come to pass, you don't have the right to say, God, I don't think you know who you're picking for the job, so I'm going to intervene here and ruin it. And, you know, when I said that God made a message out of that mess, he still said that Ishmael would lead nations.
Yeah.
Irregardless. Of Sarah reneging on the contract.
Right.
And go ahead, Brother Thomas.
Well, what I was going to say is, remember I told you this person that was here in the hotel, right?
Uh-huh.
Hajia?
Uh-huh.
Well, she's Muslim. And, you know, I struck out and said, you know, I offered, you know, it wasn't a peace offering. It was just, you know, a thing of human nature, of kindness.
Yeah.
I said, you know, when this world shuts down, you're going to need something other than Pampers. So I had told her that I had cloth diapers, and I did. And so, you know, sometime last week or so, she had said, you know, I really need to get those diapers. I said, sure, come on up. And so we started talking, and I talked to her about the things I was fixing food-wise and stuff. And so, you know, she said, you know, it's been interesting talking to you. And I told her about the podcast, and so she really was very interested in all the questions. And so then, the next day, she calls me up, and she says, do you have a bank? I said, no, I don't. She says, well, I need a check cashed. And I'm going, well, what's going on? She says, I don't have any money. Okay. She said, I don't have any food in the house. I said, okay. So I said, what do you have? She said, I really don't have anything. I said, okay, then why don't you come up and see me? And I said, here's what I can do for you. I said, I've got some corned beef hash, and I've got, forget what else I gave her, some other stuff, two or three things. Oh, macaroni and cheese and Spam. And I said, you can make a really good deal, a really good meal with Spam and mac and cheese. I don't know if people don't, but it's really good. So she said, thank you. And while we were talking, I said, you know, and she says, what is you cook? And I showed it to her. And it was a lentil bean, and bean, and meat, beef and lentil. And she says, oh my God, it smells wonderful. I said, here, take a bite of it. And so she says, oh, this is so good. And I said, oh, thank you. And so we got to talking, and I said, you know, I said, what kind of coffee do you drink? And she says, well, I said, don't tell me you drink Colombian coffee. And she says, I do. And I says, well, you know what? I got a full can here that I don't use. She says, you do? I said, yeah. So I gave that to her, a full can of Colombian coffee. Okay? And so then when she got it back, she thought it was instant. And I said, well, no, it's the kind. I said, but you can do it the old-fashioned way. You can get you like a paper towel, and you can let it drip through. You can do that and have your coffee. She says, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And so then she contacted me the next day, and she said, she says, I'm going to the grocery store. What do you need? It kind of threw me, and I said, well, you know I don't have any money. She says, that don't mean a thing to me. So she said, you make out your list. Okay, I did. Well, apparently it was too cold, and she didn't get to go, and I thought, oh, well. And I told you about it, Joe, remember? And I said, she hadn't done anything. And I thought, okay. The next morning she calls me, and she says, I'm going to the grocery store. What is on your list? I remember you said a few things. And I told her. She brings those things to me, drops them off at my door, and then she leaves. And then she comes back, because I called her and said, there's two things in here that are not mine, and there's one thing that I'm missing. She said, oh. So she had walked to the grocery store, Jewel, took an hour to walk back and forth. So she went back twice, because they didn't handle the transaction correctly. Then she walked to get it handled. So I'm going, wow. So then she came to the door, and we started talking about all the different things that we're noticing going on in this world. And she says, you've got a different perspective than I've ever heard before. And so here it is. She's Muslim. I'm Christian. What's the difference? Not much. When it's all said and done, she believes in a higher power. So do I. So is that Ishmael? Think about it. Interesting, right?
Yes, it is. And I think it speaks to just us being human one another and respecting.
That's what we need to be. That's called the Good Samaritan.
Yes, and understanding that even though these people may be described a certain way in media, that when you actually sit down and meet with them.
They're decent folk, people. They're decent folk.
You'll have
they bleed blood. They bleed red just like we do. They're not, you know, they're not the nation to be shunned. They are not the ones to be attacked. Mm-mm. Muslims are devout in their belief,
yes,
more so than we are.
They are very disciplined, and I think a lot of the conflict that we're seeing is the entitlement that the descendants of Isaac have as they are.
Oh, they think they're this. They think they are it. Like, you know, hey, Lo, I just, you know, I came into this world privileged.
Yeah.
Really, did you? I think you earn your way in this world. And privilege ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm just saying.
It's very true. It's very true. And, you know, thank you, Thomas, for sharing that story. But I want to touch on really quickly, because I know we can definitely go over time on this particular topic. I want to touch on the royal bloodlines, heirs, heiresses, and royal bloodlines, because I think it's something that's not really spoken about, and I don't think a lot of people understand that these bloodlines from Abraham are still flowing through nations.
Yeah.
And
we've got them here in this country.
Yes. These are the real royal bloodlines that aren't spoken of. And you know, at one point in time, and we discussed this, Brother Thomas, there was this need to or want to preserve these bloodlines through arranged marriages. And
cousins marrying cousins and so forth and so on. Yeah.
And it wasn't frowned upon the way is frowned upon now, primarily because...
You know what I think it is, Jill? I don't think they wanted us to look at our cousin. They wanted it to be shunned. They wanted it to be something taboo. So then you would go elsewhere. And when you went elsewhere, then it lessened the bloodline?
It did. It kind of watered it down, in a sense.
Yeah, watered it down. There you go. That's what I was trying to say. Watered it down. It did.
People started marrying...
outside.
Outside. People who practiced pagan practices. And it kind of put curses on people's bloodlines that they weren't aware of. And you're like, where did this come from? It kind of reminds me of Solomon, to be honest with you. And they start marrying these people that practice things that are totally against God our Father. And
well, for instance, like, look at Sarai, okay, who changed her name to Sarah. Don't know why. But Sarai, when she was Sarai, she was pagan.
Mm-hmm.
So, you see, and you had these two that married together. You've got Abram, who later changed to Abraham. Don't know why. But anyway, did. And so, you know, you've got these two that were, you know, arranged marriage, and this marriage was not sanctified, because if it had been sanctified in the thought of man, then they would have been blessed with children. Yes, no? Yep. This is true.
Mm-hmm.
And so she thought the people of society were against her, because apparently she did something wrong. And so then that's the reason why she said, well, I got to stop this mess. I got to get him an heir. People are starting to talk.
Yeah.
So she did.
Well,
she bent her way to the way of society. She did.
The thing is, Brother Thomas, is that these, when I bring it back to watering down the bloodlines, these relationships that people have entered into with people who worship other deities.
Right, and they're outside of, and basically, I don't think they married in the eyes of God. I don't.
No, that's a whole nother thing. And our Father had warned us about this very early. But as you guys can see, it playing out from early biblical texts to some of the issues that we have today. So we fast forward it to modern times, you will find out that some people who still carry the bloodlines of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Ishmael, who still have that in their DNA, unknowingly are messing around and marrying people still practicing occult practices.
Yeah.
These are people, parts of secret societies that you may not even know are part of these societies. And one of the things that these societies require are the same kind of pagan practices that they've done back then with
people,
drinking of children's blood and sleeping with animals and all kinds of things and sacrificing children and even sacrificing heirs of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Because once they get wind that you carry this lineage, and one might ask, well, how would they get wind? There's several ways you can find out. One of the people are doing, I was just going to say that, these ancestry searches, and not just that, but they can also visit different spiritual practitioners that mm-hmm. can identify chosen children or children, also known as children carrying this DNA. Yeah.
Well, I got one for you. So my, she was a Lillard. I think her name was Elizabeth, but anyhow. She wanted to be in the society, Daughters of the American Revolution, D-A-R.
Uh-huh.
Now, to be able to do that, she had to prove lineage. She had to prove lineage that she was a daughter of the American Revolution.
Yes.
Now, when she found that out, she found out not only were the Lillards related to, wait for it, Andrew Jackson, but George Washington as well.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
And because that they found that out, and she gave us there was a book on it. She actually got it. Mom has it. Oh, had it. A book on Lillards. And how far they went back, and that, you know, because she was able to read, and this is before Ancestry.com, and this is before 23andMe, you know, she just had to do some digging, and she had to find out who begot who and all that kind of stuff. And so she found out that, sure enough, even though she was a sideline Lillard, it still was, the Lillard name was part of that American Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yes. Very, very, Thomas. I want to jump back in
mm-hmm.
with what is being done today. And this is very important, and that's why I'm kinda emphasizing this, because there's people not understanding what's happening around them spiritually that stem back all the way to
biblical
issues of biblical times and inheritance and shameful relationships and voided contracts. This is all coming into play today, right? And what we're finding is that these individuals that are part of these occults that are very much aware of the significance of these royal bloodlines are offering bribes to parents of chosen or children that have these gifts. They're offering bribes to parents, to family members of these genetically gifted children to study them, study their DNA, to set them up and to steal from them, right? Because that played out biblically already. And so when their gifts start coming into fruition, many people in these groups, they will start scare campaigns, gang stalking, harassment, theft and vandalism, pretty much anything to try
to tear you down mentally.
To deem these gifted individuals as insane.
Yeah.
So that these individuals are so afraid to speak up and to share their gifts with the world,
right?
And these people are doing it for power and wealth. And I want to emphasize to those that are gifted, that are kind of in that space of not understanding why is all of this happening around me.
Right.
This is why, and it stems back biblically.
Well, and the thing too, Jewel, is I never want the power.
No.
I don't want the money. I don't want the recognition. I don't want the power. I don't want any of it. I just want to live my life.
Free, right? And unfortunately, many.
And I ain't getting it.
Like you, Pastor, are, being pushed to a state of poverty, right?
Yeah.
With repeated setups where you're being stolen from.
Yeah.
This is happening to a lot of people. And
it's intentional.
It is very intentional. It's repeated. It's intentional.
I mean, there's no logic in that my daughter, well, let's say case in point, my daughter, you know, she asked me to go get her something, a Sephora card, a gift card, which I hate them to begin with, and I think they're money laundering, but I did it anyway, and I went, and I had to walk, people, had to walk to the drugstore in the rain. This is what a father does. He sacrifices. So mm-hmm. I did. And I went and got that gift card. Yeah, I went and got that gift card for her. And then I let her have it and over the phone. And that was a week before Thanksgiving. And right after that, I said, you know, I'm going to need that money back because I don't have anything. And she even acknowledged. She said, Daddy, you're living in this hotel, and you're only getting $2,500 a month. I said, exactly. And how much is your rent? I said, $1,800. Well, that don't leave you nothing. I said, exactly. But I was willing to give you my $100 to help you. Now, here's the logic or non-logic. Why is she not paying me back? Why? No. I don't have any money right now.
That's what I'm saying, Brother Thomas. In many cases, people are being pushed, nudged by their own loved ones into poverty. They're pulling on your heartstrings. Because they know that, you know, just...
Well, you know, here's my sisters, okay? Let's talk about them. So my sisters, there's one in particular, my youngest sister, Trisha.
Brother Thomas, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here. You can't hear me?
No, I didn't hear you. But please refrain from saying their names. If you can.
Well, I don't care. Anyhow, a name is a name, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, she knew of my situation. She even asked me when she called me on this hotel phone, because she couldn't reach me on my phone. She said, how's it going? I said, not well. I mean, my health is not doing any better. And, you know, did she offer to have me come for Thanksgiving? Did she try to bring me anything for Thanksgiving? No. Not a word. Not one word.
Well, what we're finding, Brother Thomas, is that there's a many of these loved ones have a different agenda than what you may have in mind, right? And I want to
another one that accused me of being, you know, conspiracy theorist, or accused me of being crazy. I need counseling. That's what my sister. That's, you know, we were like twins growing up, and how she's so different now. It's like, whoa. And this is what people are facing, Jewel, and I think this is what you're leading to. Family turns against family.
Yes, yes. And I want to talk about the ultimate goal, because some people may not know what the ultimate goal here of these family members selling out their family members in these occults and in these groups for wealth and sacrificing them. For Satan's purposes, for carrying, being descendants of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ultimately, the goals are as follows. One, the first goal would probably be death. That would probably be the easiest way for them to steal someone's inheritance, their destiny, or whatever it is. But if they can't get the first goal, the second goal would be imprisonment, and that would be done via false narratives reported to state and local and federal agencies.
Well, what my daughter told me, she said, she called me up, you know, and she said, Daddy, she said, you're going to do what? And I said, I'm not paying my taxes. She said, Daddy, you're going to go to prison. I said, I'm not paying my taxes because they're not legal. She said, Daddy, you cannot be saying that. I said, there is nothing, there is no law on the books that says I am required to pay my taxes. There is an obligation. That's not a law. Okay? An obligation is a thought in your mind, and somebody placed that in your mind. Government placed that in your mind, that you're required to pay your taxes. Baloney. You're not. Taxes are illegal because we're indentured servants, Jewel.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We don't have ownership. Just like right now, you've got the Freemasons who don't give a shit about us. Pardon my pun. They don't. And what are they trying to do?
Watch the language.
I'm sorry.
I agree.
You know, they're attacking us because of our belief. And I'm telling you, I found out that the Freemasons, who they hate the most, Christians, they do.
Well,
and so the twisted thing, huh?
Let me complete the list of goals, and we can delve into how joining these other groups can be the gateway into
let's do that, like the societal groups.
So I'm gonna finish up here by saying the list of what their goals are, and we've covered murder, we've covered what else did I mentioned?
Embezzlement.
Yes, we've covered that to some degree with the false narratives to get them arrested. And then there's also to get the third
just
goal
lying.
Would be to get into some sort of mental institution. So many of them would be identified as crazy conspiracy theorists. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, they're doing things covertly to make them appear as if they are not sane and have full mental faculties going for them, which to me is so diabolical. You know, it's like...
Well, obviously that's what they're doing.
You phased out, but I'm going to give an example. It's like... you know, you're obviously close within someone's quarters, and you're able to take something out of their personal space, right? Hide it from them, and then come back and ask them, do you know where X, Y, and Z is that they've just taken? It's kind of like playing those elementary games and messing with someone's faculties. No one really believes that people would do this, go to this extent for theft, but it's happening, right? And so I want to make sure that those of you who are experiencing this and kind of
you're not crazy.
You're not crazy. This is something that some people do for entertainment. And as I said to Brother Thomas just the other night, are you not entertained, childish ones following a cult? This is really silly.
It's hard work, Jewel.
And then they're compromising many people's actual physical health, right?
Yeah.
By putting things in their food, right? Exposing them to mold and skin irritants and just, you know, we've talked about the access that they have for
the energy weapons, you know, all that frequency crap, you know.
It's really happening. And that's another measure is you know, the fourth thing is compromising physical health. And then the fifth is just repeatedly harassing and
never letting
also
up.
Also, never letting up, using, resorting to spell work and, you know, whether they use dolls or whether they're using dirt from graveyards, whatever they're doing. That's from these occult practices.
Mm-hmm.
This is like an onslaught of war tactics against.
Well, Jill, you know, I didn't realize that somebody had said this. Somebody had said this to me. That basically, you know, when we always used to praise ourselves for doing the spelling bees,
mm-hmm.
cool. Do you know that we were doing spells?
Yes. And we spoke about that in a prior podcast.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to touch on it too much again in this one, but yes, Brother Thomas is absolutely right. Those of us that say we have nothing to do with pagan spell work, we don't realize that we have been indoctrinated.
Like our Pledge of Allegiance. What do we pledge allegiance to, people? A flag. Now, that flag, we thought that represented the 13 colonies. No. It represents the 13 families. And that's the royal bloodline. 13 families. So, when you get up and you say, and we're taught, I remember I felt so proud to to do that for the first time. You know, the teacher teaches you how to do it, that you're standing there and you're looking at the flag and you put your hand over your heart and you say, I now pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Where is God in that? Where is God in that?
You're absolutely right. It should be God, family, and then country.
Yeah.
I agree with you there, Brother Thomas. And that being said, now that we have kind of lifted the veil of what these occults, like the Freemasons you mentioned, are doing against chosen children of God, where they're getting their information from family members and these, DNA testings. Now that we've lifted the veil on what's being done behind the scenes with these groups studying them and torturing them, I think it's only, enlightening to share that when you guys join these different, fraternities, these different sororities, these different, groups that you think offer you some sort of, I'm not even sure exactly.
Well,
offer you accolades, experience,
if you get into their world, then, you know, the doors open up.
Yes, open doors. That's what I was looking for. Most of the time, joining these groups because you think they can open doors for you where you cannot. I want to emphasize to you guys that these groups are gateways to larger occult groups internationally. And
they're intertwined.
As you climb the ladder of groups that you're involved in, and many of you can kind of attest to this in even just working day to day in corporate America, right? As you as you climb to the top, there's more that will be expected of you. Right?
Yeah.
So you may start out with this group, it's all fun and games, and you're, you know, partaking in their step performances, and, you know.
Jewel, you know, we need to say, too, that even churches have these groups.
Whatever they may be, churches, law enforcement have these fraternal orders.
Yeah.
There's just all these different little secret groups that lead up into something very dark and sinister that many of you are probably not aware of. See, when you join these groups, you don't think that they're sinister because they don't make you feel as if they are in conflict with you being a Christian. At no point in time do they tell you have to forfeit your Christianity, because in all essence, they believe that most Christians are lowercase c anyway.
Well,
because they do what they want to do in terms of
I don't know. Did you ever pledge a sorority, Jewel?
No, I did not.
Okay, so let me tell you about my fraternity. So I did not go with the normal fraternity when I was in college. I went with a music fraternity, Phi Mu Alpha. And so, you know, I did not think that it was pagan, but now that I think about it, you know, when you do pledging, when you do rushing, you have to do some weird stuff. And so I remember that I had to say all of the Greek alphabet, and I had to hold a match, lit match, in my hand, in my fingers. And I had to say that Greek alphabet before the flame burned my finger. Now, you realize what that was?
Mm-hmm.
That's pagan. That's pagan. Because here you are using flame, okay, and you're timed, and you got to use your memory.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pagan, even though it was a music fraternity in a Christian college. You see?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, they come in disguise, right? They ask you to recite these things. You have no idea what you're reciting. It's probably in another language. You are
Greek is. Let me tell you something. That Greek stuff is Greek.
You're calling,
and you don't know what you're saying.
You know nothing about, but
it's an incantation.
the exactly, that's exactly what it is. And you're standing in circles, holding hands.
Yeah.
Need I say more? Are we not entertained, right?
Yeah.
With what's being asked of you. And then the energy.
You feel privileged. I mean, you made it through, yeah. You know?
You're doing all of this to be privileged, to be seen as privileged, but you are literally going against God and your lineage. Like, you're
right.
You're literally, in so many words, telling God that I am choosing to.
I'm showing homage to Greek.
To Greek and pagan culture over
yeah.
you.
And,
yeah. you know, some may feel like, well, I'll go to church on Sunday, even though I incanted Lord knows what this week. And all is forgiven. No. Because sometimes, I hate to say it, God's probably not even in that church because you don't know what they are doing in those basements and circles and.
Exactly.
And all kinds of stuff.
Well, the fornication, the pastor sleeping with, you know, several of the, you know, the patrons and his, you know, wives and all this kind of stuff. Oh, that goes on. Let me tell you something. First Baptist Church, it was going on.
It goes on and on. And I say this for you guys to understand that we are in a time where this has gotten so far out of control spiritually. There's so many
people. We are out of control. Totally.
This is not just a Hollywood thing. I mean.
No.
People
it's
are.
It's taking place, honey. You know, you.
This has become a nation of pagan worship. And, those of us.
Man,
that
who gets
have
the dirtiest.
A background in Christianity and would stand on business because that's the thing. We don't see too many people standing on business. They say they're Christian, but they want to do whatever they want. They want to be wherever they want to be, eat whatever they want to eat, you know.
Well, they'll pass by that beggar on the street too.
There's not too many standing on business where.
You know what I said?
Yes, I heard you loud and clear that, that you can say, oh my goodness, that person is of their father. I've just witnessed them give to the homeless. I've just witnessed them take food out of their pantry and give it to someone.
See, that's
that
what I did.
Look like
and I got rewarded from it. I did,
precisely.
That I didn't expect.
Precisely.
And I don't expect it. I didn't put the strings attached to it, saying, I'm doing this because I know you're going to do something for me. No.
We have to walk the walk and talk the talk, even when no one's looking, no one's recording.
Right.
We have to be of our Father. We have to give this information to protect our brothers and sisters, irregardless
of what they do to
other
us.
People perceive us or how they or how other occults are going to retaliate against us.
Well, the golden rule, Jewel, the golden rule is this. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Do unto you.
Not
yes.
do unto others as they do unto you. Because that's revenge.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Brother Tom.
And that's where we get screwed up because we think, I've been screwed, I'm going to screw back.
Yes.
And I don't feel that way.
That's one of our greatest tests because even in everything that I've described earlier and what the goals are of these groups, standing down and not retaliating, not responding in the way to fulfill their goals is.
Which blows their minds that they're thinking that I don't retaliate.
Yes. They're like, this person really does carry the DNA of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look at all we've done, and they have stood down and had faith of a mustard seed that their father will deliver them. Their father will
My father didn't deliver me, that's for sure. So, you know,
When I say father, I mean the Most High.
I know that, Jewel. I know. I'm just saying, you know, in a sense of child versus father, you know, you would have thought your father would have given you some kind of inheritance, you know?
Trust me, Brother Thomas, I overstand. I overstand.
Yeah, but, you know, so many others don't realize, you know, and it has to do with firstborn, and it has to do with lineage, and it has to do right back to what we're talking about with Ishmael. He got the raw end of the deal.
He did. Sad to say it, he did. Both in the text. And also in his lineage. But the good thing is that the covering, the promise, yeah, is still over his lineage,
yes,
which is something that cannot be taken away from him.
Right. Well, you know, but all the people that have died in Palestine and in Gaza, you know,
mm-hmm,
God is still, they're still there.
It's
they
not
haven't
right.
been totally annihilated yet.
No. And that's the thing. I mean, even if we talk about, and I do bring up slavery from time to time in this country, but you think about African Americans and all the things that they've experienced, all of the different tests, the syphilis.
Well, Jill, you know what I just found out today about the slaves? So apparently you had the chief of the tribe, okay?
Uh-huh.
That they would go and raid other villages to take their children and capture them and sell them into slavery. Now,
yeah,
you tell me, what society does that? Greed?
Well, definitely greed. But what I was saying was that even in today's, or not today, we do experience indentured slavery today, but even in actual slavery that happened in this country at one point in time, you've seen the same thing kind of play out in the same way, where black people they still survive. We still have numbers despite.
Yeah, you still survive. And most.
I lost you, Brother Thomas, but yeah, we still multiply as God's promise said Abraham's children would. So I do believe there are some DNA connections that obviously kept the race going, because when you think about everything that we've endured, the mere fact that we're still here with the numbers we have is just a pure miracle.
Well, I'm going to say something to you that probably you're not going to know about, but okay, I remember growing up. Okay, and I'm thinking, okay, here's the little, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yep.
Okay, we have the Lillard Clan, that's what we called it, the Lillard Clan. And so I remember I was going and they said, well, you know, there's another Lillard that's in Memphis and he's a lawyer. So, oh, I don't know him. And they said, well, he's not really a cousin of ours. I said, why? Got the last name. Well, he's black.
Yeah, that was. Through slavery. Mm-hmm.
And so they're saying, well, you know, he didn't learn it right way. Excuse me? Now, that's just a horrible thing to say, is it not?
Yeah.
He didn't earn it the right way? Well, what's earning? Huh? Because you came into this world privileged? Really? I think it's an honor that he's carrying on the name. I do.
Absolutely. One thing about Brother Thomas is that he's very fair in his assessments, and that's one of the reasons why I think it's so easy for me to talk to him.
Because we're brother and sister. I mean, we may have different skin color. We may come from different parts of the earth, but we have a brain, you know, and we have a connection, and we have this camaraderie, and I will protect her to the death. You know this, Jewel. I have said, let me talk to that person. I'll rip him up one side and down the other.
He certainly does. I got to calm him down. Brother Thomas is definitely a loyal friend, and I am appreciative of that. A very good guy, and I'm so thankful.
And I'm not tooting my own horn here. I'm just simply saying this is what we're supposed to do, people.
Yeah.
It don't matter. If they're a different skin color, when it's all said and done, they still bleed the same damn color blue, red, you know? It all is in all our veins. So we're all equal.
Yeah.
We are all equal. There is not one person that is better than anybody else. That is the shame of it all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That we thought we came into this world privileged? No. You had to earn your right. You had to earn your stripes, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Brother Thomas. And you know what? As usual, we ran over time.
Oh, well.
And
it's been good.
You know,
it's been good.
It has. you know, I just want to talk briefly about as the holiday season approaches.
Yes.
The next, I think I'll have probably one more podcast at least before the year comes, the new year. And in that podcast, I will touch on some of these so-called alien sightings and spaceships and what's happening. I will leave that for the last podcast for the year. For this one, I want to leave you guys with a very important message as the holiday season approaches. I want to remind you all to be very, very careful from whom you accept gifts from this season. And certain gifts to outright deny, right?
Yeah.
I don't want you taking wallets, shoes, mirrors, alcohol, aka spirits, and or head coverings or food from anyone this holiday season.
Right.
I want you to protect yourself spiritually.
Get money.
And if you do accept clothing, please wash it in
give
salt
it to
water
the shelter
before you wear it or give it to a shelter.
Yeah.
As a general precaution, I would probably do gift cards
and that's a little iffy too with gift cards because of the, you know, money laundering thing.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to give you guys the safest route spiritually, but you know, people do set up in other ways to get you arrested as well. So just keep that in mind. And,
well, you know the rule. I think the golden rule, when it's not golden rule, I guess it's just, I guess it's saying I've always been, grew up with, it's better to give than it is to receive.
To receive, absolutely. And I tell those of you who want to send me something, because I know during the holiday season, I do get a couple of supporters that reach out and ask, you know, what to send me. And I ask all of you to donate to fundraisingcup.org on my behalf. It's a little plug for the organization again, but seriously, you know, I would appreciate the donation and for them to go back and feed the homeless. That would be a huge gift to me. But I want you all.
Or if you get the opportunity that you're in your day to day life, okay, and you've got somebody that, you know, is on the side of the street. And they look like they're cold and shivering. Show some compassion.
Yes. Feed the homeless. Clothe the homeless.
Because I'm telling you, those homeless are probably veterans. And we spoke on that before.
We did.
I mean, they're the downtrodden. And you've got these people who come across the border and they're privileged. And they get all the money and they get all of the housing and they get all of the medicines and everything.
Oh,
and our veterans don't get nothing?
I know. It's shameful.
It's
shameful.
Twisted. It is really twisted.
But you're
it's
absolutely
really twisted.
Right. Help the homeless, guys. And remember that everyone that smiles in your face and celebrates with you are not necessarily coming with good intentions, guys.
Well, you know, Jewel, too, if you don't have money, you can give your time.
That's true. You can volunteer.
You can go work in a kitchen.
Yes, a soup kitchen.
You can a soup kitchen. You
locally.
Can serve plates. You can show an act of kindness to someone who's sitting there at the table, and they may be in some kind of bad threads or smelling bad or whatever, but that may be the only meal they eat. And
absolutely.
So, if you can just give of your time and your talent, you don't have to be money. That's not what God's saying. He's saying give up your time and your talents to those that are less fortunate than you.
Absolutely.
That's what it means.
So, absolutely, Brother Thomas. So, again, protect yourselves, guys. These are lessons not taught to many of us in our churches, in our communities, and leave many people exposed, but your Auntie Jewel is here and your Uncle Thomas is here now, our dear supporters, to help you along the spiritual journey.
Well, and I just want to say one more thing is please don't be the emphasis on the materialistic things of this holiday season. Please don't.
Yes.
Santa is a sign of Satan, people. And is showing a tribute to Satan. He's in a red coat. Okay? He has a white beard. Okay? They say he's jolly. There's interpretations on that. Also, he attracts children. Do I need to go any further? Mm-hmm. It's the truth. So, you know, a lot of people think, well, we're honoring, you know, the birthday of Christ. No, we're not. Christ was not born on December the 25th.
Hello?
He wasn't. Did you hear me?
I did. I think I had a little technical difficulty there for a second.
But okay.
Absolutely. Brother Thomas, and I know you guys, it's a lot of information we give you in these podcasts. As I always say,
yeah.
I try not to overwhelm you because it can become information constipation if it's okay. So I want
Do you have any sharings for it from the last podcast, Jewel?
The last podcast, I got a few likes, you know, thumbs up, and I believe there was one gentleman that said,
well, I told you about Kijia. I told you about Kijia.
You did comment on Kijia. And I encourage you guys to keep on commenting, keep on supporting. Let us know areas you agree with, disagree with, can improve on. I'm here for it. So thank
it's
you
a
all.
It's a discussion. It should be a healthy discussion. Just like, you know, with Kijia and I said, you know, I could hardly stand, and I said, can we sit down? And so we sat down in the hallway. Cleo was having a fit because I was in the room. I was outside the room. But I was talking with her, and I was saying, I just can't stand. And she said, I understand. And so we started talking about different things that are going on in this world. And she says, you're right. And I said, it is so encouraging to see that you're deep diving when so many people that I know are not deep diving. They don't care to know. And so I said, I really appreciate that. And she says, well, I appreciate your input. She says, oh, my God, I've listened to the podcast, and I think what you're doing is fantastic. And so we kept on talking, and then she had to go meet her child at the bus station. Do you know what she reached out and did, Jewel?
What?
She reached out her hand to me and pulled me up off the floor.
Oh.
Because I couldn't pick myself up.
Bless her heart.
So there's kindness, whether they're Muslim, whether they're Buddhist, whether they're anything other than what we are as Christians. We're people, first and foremost.
Absolutely.
And we should treat ourselves with kindness and decency. And forget all this petty jealousy and this pettiness that we've developed into. This COVID has created this. It's created it.
This isolation. I agree. In closing, I want you guys to please continue to support this podcast. Please continue to support my guests as well as myself and fundraisingcup.org ministry.
Prayers mean a lot, people. Prayers mean a lot.
And following us online. Yes, please continue to pray for us as well. And remember, if no one told you this week, you are loved and priceless to our Father.
Amen.
So keep tuning in, and until next time, thank you, and I look forward to the next Can We Talk with Jewel podcast.
Amen.
Bye.
Amen. Bye-bye.